Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love, with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Has the way that love has arisen in you seemed out of place or even taboo? My mission is to expand the conversation of love in the world. Is it possible to have deep, loving, healthy relationships? Have you ever been curious about having more than one relationship or partner at a time? Get ready to transform in love, be courageous, and set yourself free. In this show, we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be, but never thought were possible. I shed light on things that are not always talked about with conversations about expanding love. The Elizabeth Cunningham Show starts now. Welcome to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. My name is Elizabeth Cunningham. I am your host. Oh, and I'm so honored today to have Irene Morning here. Welcome, Irene.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Ah, beautiful. And we are talking about non-monogamy as an avenue for healing today. And before we get into that, I just want to introduce Irene really quickly. So Irene is a queer, kinky, neurodivergent, polyamorous femme and pleasure witch, which we're going to get into. I'm so excited. She weaves together extensive training in somatic healing and sexual health counseling with her lived experience to help others reclaim pleasure as a guiding principle. This includes individual coaching, couples coaching, small group programs, and writing, in addition to the Pleasure Coven membership for Femme Pleasure Magic. Both her work and personal life revolve around the belief that centering our own pleasure is not only healing on an individual level, but also in service of interdependence and collective well-being. And I could not agree with you more.
Yeah, thank you. It feels, yeah. I was looking at that. I'm like, did I write that? That feels really true.
I was like, you wrote it. You sent it to me. Yeah, I was like, dang, great. This is amazing. This is fantastic. No, I truly believe that as well. And your message personally really resonates with me. And so I'm also just personally glad to have you on the show, because this is something that I feel very strongly about and want to talk about more, is like, you know, non-monogamy as a way of healing, pleasure as a way of healing, really discovering like what it is that you want, right? Like talking about that on that individual level, and that individual level of healing will also heal others and our community as well. I 100% believe that.
Yeah, totally. And I think part of the thing for me is that like, I only really got to tap into that understanding of pleasure as like really being healing for me as I started practicing non-monogamy. And it felt like that messaging, that sort of collective understanding of pleasure that way, was so much more alive for me in the communities that are practicing non-monogamy. Like, yeah. I think culturally there's something a little bit different going on there.
Yeah, no, let's talk about that. Let's dive right in, because that is the topic of today, you know, is non-monogamy as an avenue for healing. And so what does healing mean in that context? Or how do you define healing in that context?
Yeah, you know, I think for me, when I think about healing, there's kind of two main words that come up for me. One is ease and one is agency. So when I'm thinking about healing, the sort of like broad understanding or broad framing of easing suffering comes to mind. And then the other thing that I think a lot about is like building up our capacity, building up our ability to access our agency and our own power. And for me, like part of that comes from understanding, like, I personally have complex PTSD. I work with a lot of clients who have some kind of trauma history. And like understanding that different forms of trauma can actually change the brain and the nervous system because of the physiological impacts, pleasure can actually change how our nervous system is working because of its physiological impacts. So understanding that pleasure actually gives us access to all those good like brain and body chemicals that help alleviate the symptoms of trauma and help us actually like rewire our nervous systems is really for me part of where like the a part of what's really exciting about this kind of work. So that's kind of a sprinkling of what I'm talking about there is actually like finding more agency, finding more capacity, and helping to rewire where we've gotten into patterning that doesn't actually like support us.
Yeah, absolutely. And how, and I'm curious, and I got, it's like, it's a huge topic. It's like a broad, we're just like healing. Just like, okay, great. Like,
I know. What is that? Every time I dive into a question like that, I'm like, oh, there's so many things to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's also that component, I mean, that you were touching on of like, as we heal ourselves, it also has this rippling outward effect, right? And I think particularly when we're talking about things that have to do with pleasure and sexuality and relationships, where we've gotten a lot of conditioning from culture and systems outside of ourselves. There's also a healing that happens on that level when we choose to interact with that messaging differently. So there's like the healing on the body level of the individual and the nervous system that is about finding more ease, finding more agency. And then there's healing that actually gets to happen at an interpersonal level of like, as we claim more pleasure, actually what we'll see is that our relationships have more ease in them. And then that has this like rippling outward effect that hopefully gets to impact culture and have culture operate in a more consensual, supportive way for all of us.
Yeah, I believe that. And I absolutely live by and teach by that principle as well. And so the question that arises for me is, if we're healing on an individual level, then what is that like? How is non-monogamy, which is, you know, having multiple relationships, how is non-monogamy an avenue for that individual healing?
Yeah, totally. So this is where I think in my personal story, and I think I'm going to dig into my own personal story to answer this question, but where I was actually like really surprised to find this as I started practicing non-monogamy was, so as I said before, like I have complex PTSD, which for anyone listening who doesn't know, like the sort of difference between PTSD and complex PTSD is PTSD on its own tends to be more associated with like one event or a contained time period. And complex PTSD sort of is like an accumulation of traumas over a period of time. You might also hear people kind of switch that out with developmental trauma. It's often associated with trauma that happens over a long period of time when you're younger. And so they can have a lot of similar expressions in how they shape us. But complex PTSD tends to be defined a little bit more by emotional flashbacks, which are kind of more amorphous than the flashbacks that you would have in PTSD.
Which would be like the actual event that like that specific event that happened.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, you know, the example is like if a loud noise brings back a memory of like being at war, and you can very easily sort of, or a car crash or something, you know, you can sort of easily like match up like what the trigger is like linking to.
Got
emotional
it.
Flashbacks tend to be a little bit more like hazy, and you don't actually know exactly what it's, there's not like a specific thing that it's linking you to. It's more kind of just like the memory of this intense feeling that takes you pretty out of the present moment. But the other characteristics of complex PTSD that I think are sort of important for the purpose of this conversation are toxic shame, self-abandonment, and a really intense inner critic. And so like any trauma response, that sort of that self-abandonment piece can serve a purpose for a while, but like as we get into our adult selves and trying to actually build the lives that we want, it winds up being really counterproductive. And particularly if we're trying to practice non-monogamy, there's so much of the characteristics of complex PTSD like don't work in non-monogamy, right? Like in order for me to have successful polyamorous relationships, I need to be able to claim what I want, not just go along with whatever my partner wants, right? I need to be able to communicate my truth without shrinking or hiding or self-abandoning in other ways. I need to actually be able to say, here's what I want, here's what my limits are, here are the things that I need for me to be a functional person in multiple relationship dynamics that are potentially more triggering. Like, I don't want to say that like that stuff doesn't come up in monogamy, but it's a little bit more in your face in non-monogamy. You know what I mean? Like if you have an abandonment wound and your partner is spending time with someone else, you have to face that a little bit more head on than you do in monogamy.
Yeah. Well, also in having multiple relationships, there's the larger capacity to have that be triggered on a more regular basis
too. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I would say for me, what I found was that the first few months of my non-monogamy were just kind of like a mess because all of that was driving how it was all operating. And what I found is I started to actually face it more and go like, okay, what do I need to do here to get this more operational? Like, what do I need to do for this to not just be like drama and pain all the time? Cause I don't think that's what it's supposed to be. I had to actually really work through healing a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. And I think we're going to skip break. Most of the time we have a break right now, but I kind of want to stay here in this. I think this is really important. And so, yeah, tell me a little bit more about like how these, you know, continue to show up in non-monogamy. Cause you're kind of talking about like the, how it shows up. And mm-hmm. I'm hearing in what you're saying that, you know, the like potentiality of it showing up on a more regular basis then lends itself to, you know, have that urgency to need to deal with it. Which I think I'm like kind of making an assumption right now. Would then like, if you have that sense of urgency, like, oh, this is coming up a lot and we're, you know, I have to deal with this, then that leads to healing, or that leads to the path of like finding healing.
Would yeah. I mean, that, hopefully.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully. That's kind
in,
of the
in
thing.
An ideal like, world.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll say like for myself, part of what happened was that actually my complex PTSD symptoms became unmanageable. Like it seeped into the other areas of my life and it was actually kind of debilitating for a little while. So it did create that urgency of like, okay, I have to do something. Like I have to figure this out in some way. And there was at least one point in that period where my sort of like, I don't love saying primary partner, but who I consider sort of like foundational partner, was the only person that I was seeing consistently at that point. And we actually chose to close the relationship in order to stabilize what was happening really in my body. Because that's one of the things about resolving trauma is that it actually is really very much on the body level. So it was like my body had gotten so sort of beyond its capacity that we were like, okay, we need to figure out stabilizing the body and like get some resources here. And then it did exactly as you said, like then I was able to kind of go like, okay, how do we sift through this? And so much of it for me around complex PTSD has been unpacking like the belief systems around claiming what I want and need and actually like putting that into practice. Which I will say is in a totally, like I'm on a different planet as far as that is concerned versus like when I started in non-monogamy. Yeah. And And also, it gets to be an ongoing practice for all of us. Right? Like, there's a lot of stuff in our culture that sends us the message of like asking for what you want is selfish, or focusing on your own pleasure is selfish, or, you know, all of these narratives that we get around these things that condition us to actually suppress them. And I think for me, what I found in doing this healing in non-monogamy is like, okay, I feel so committed to like realizing that this is who I am. Like, I am polyamorous. And now that I see that about myself, I have to heal these things that are in the way of me actually living into that truth.
Yeah. And I think that that's so interesting, because I think that one of the like arguments that could be posed like against polyamory or like against non-monogamy that I hear is in something that you said, which was we decided to close our relationship in order for me to heal. And I just hear the voices being like, well, doesn't that mean that non-monogamy doesn't work? Doesn't that mean, like, how are you healing through non-monogamy if like you closed your relationship? You know, like, what do you say? What do you say to the naysayers?
Well, this is where I say actually that like an understanding of how we heal trauma is actually really important, because we have to reckon with the triggers in a digestible way, right? Like, how we work through these things is actually confronting them when we're well resourced enough to confront them. And then, you know, going through different methods of like, maybe I'm touching into these challenging feelings and dealing with the trigger, and then like taking a break and like coming in and out like that. That's like one way of doing it. Or I think the important thing to understand with it is like, when we've gotten so far past our capacity that it knocks us out the way that it took me out a few years ago, that's not actually the problem in itself. Like, that could happen to me in any relationship setting. It happened to happen to me in non-monogamy because there are more triggers in non-monogamy. But then the healing that gets to happen when we understand how to pace ourselves and how to, I mean, the word in somatics is titration, like how to titrate dealing with the things that are challenging, and then resourcing from pleasure, resourcing from ease, resourcing from other partners, resourcing from my polyamorous community that understands exactly what that struggle is. Like, those are all ways that it gets to be healing. And just because we have trauma doesn't mean that a relationship style is inherently problematic.
Brilliant. Yep.
That's what I would say to the naysayers.
Well, I think that that is a brilliant thing to say, because, I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, it doesn't have to, like, people who have CPTSD, you know, there's a multitude of factors that are, you know, going on in their life. And so, you know, someone who's married, you can't just be like, oh, well, it's because you're married, you can't work through it because you have kids or because you have this job. You know, it's like pointing to some external factor that has nothing to do with what you're actually dealing with. It just happens to be a circumstance of your life. Right.
Totally.
And yeah. And I think that that's really, really important. And exactly as you said, you know, like, it's important to understand trauma and how trauma works, and also how healing from trauma works as well.
And I think you also said something important a few minutes ago about like, there's an essential component here of actually like living into what we desire, getting in touch with what we want, and our own, I can't remember the languaging that you used around it, but like our own truth essentially. And I think there's also an important piece of this of like, as I started touching into non-monogamy, I actually didn't realize I was queer until I was exploring multiple relationships. And as I started to unpack those pieces of myself as well, I was seeing all this other stuff about my sexuality and about my identity that now allow me to live a more fully expressed version of myself. Whereas I think actually not ever finding those things out about myself would have meant living into a more traumatic adulthood, because I would continue to suppress them.
Yeah.
And of course, that's speculation on my part, but you know.
Sure. Like, there's no way that we could, you know, possibly ever, you know that or prove that. But you could take the case that in following something that feels like your truth, that in that process and that discovery and the journey that you went on, then you were able to do that. Whereas, you know, I think specifically for people who go down the non-monogamous path, you know, if they had stayed in monogamy, there's and they are a non-monogamous person, then there is, I believe, a stuckness that happens there, because there's a part of you that isn't being expressed. And so when you have that part of you that's able to be expressed, it's like, you know, it's like in Shrek, you know, it's like ogres are like onions, you know, they have layers.
Totally.
And we're like ogres, we're like layers.
And it circles me right back to like, well, what do we mean by healing, right? Like, in a certain sense, we mean liberation, of actually like freeing up all the different parts of yourself. Because to me, that's what happens when we get to heal trauma and actually explore these different avenues of what it means to be human for us. And so finding those parts of ourselves that otherwise weren't expressed is also incredibly healing.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, 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 yes. And speaking of yes, 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 let's talk about body and pleasure. Because the other thing that you brought up, I'm going to circle back around to this, was like learning more about your body and like using your body and like how you feel in your body. And I don't remember the exact words that you use, but basically using your body as an instrument to heal and to discover. So talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. I mean, for me, like, the framework that I operate with is that the body is the home actually of all the emotions and all the different components of ourselves that actually we're trying to communicate to other people. And part of what I mean by that is that we actually experience emotions on a physiological level. They have sensations in our body, and we interpret those sensations to mean sad, happy, jealous, whatever. So when we get to a place, but like part of how our culture works and part of how, you know, basically all the systems of oppression work is to try on some level in a multitude of ways to disconnect us from our body awareness, to disconnect us from centering the wisdom of our body, and kind of like interfere with that communication of like me and what my own signals are. And so for me, part of what's really really significant in actually learning about our own pleasure and kind of reclaiming that pleasure is that it gives us a lot more information about how we're actually feeling. And as we explore like, what do I find enjoyable? What are some new sensations to me? We actually get a much bigger vocabulary of like, who am I? How do I operate in the world? What are my true feelings about things? And then as I communicate these experiences from my internal landscape to other people, I also ideally, hopefully, find that the world and my social network can hold me differently than I thought before. And so many of the people that I work with, like, I was having a conversation with a client recently who was talking about stepping into a new sexual situation with a partner, with some other people that they had not yet met. And they were talking about, you know, finding their, really like the whole notion of consent in that space and what it was going to mean for them to be in their yes or their no. And their initial framing of it was this very like mind and body were separate. And the work that we were doing was to come back to like, you actually don't need to quote unquote figure out whether you're consenting or not. We just need to like have that communication with you and your body of like what signals are happening in your body. Is your body in a turned on place leaning into something, or is your body asking you to slow down and saying like, oh, maybe I'm not quite ready for this. Like you don't have to bring any like thought to it if we can stay with the body.
Right, you don't have to intellectualize it. You don't have to go like read a book about it. That yeah. You could really just like tune in to like what your body's innate wisdom.
And that gets, that relationship between you and your body gets so strengthened by you actually practicing more pleasure and rooting into pleasure. Because a lot of the people that I work with, and this was true for me way back when, is like, especially if we're living with PTSD in some capacity, we don't necessarily know pleasure that intimately. Like the symptoms can keep us so disconnected from what is pleasurable that sometimes we can have a hard time reading. So actually building up our relationship with what feels good to me, and that can be like tiny, tiny, tiny things. I like for people to start really small with that, but building up your relationship with like, what is actually pleasurable? What does that feel like to me? Gives you so much more clarity around if something is actually not what you want.
Oh my gosh, that is so true. And that registered for me on a personal level. I remember one of the first somatic coaching sessions that I ever had. One of the asks was to close your eyes and take deep breaths and then find in your body what felt pleasurable, even if it was just like your pinky finger, you know, like even if it was like you had like a tingling in your pinky finger and that felt nice, you know, like, so really getting, so like, I really hear you when you're like, yeah, start really small. Like, it doesn't have to be like, what gets me all like juicy and wet? It can be like, does your hair feel nice on your neck?
Yeah,
lean into that.
Totally. Or like with something that I'll commonly do with clients that I do in most of my group stuff is actually just take people through all five senses. Like we do just like a quick little sensory scan of like, how are your senses receiving pleasure right now? Maybe you have a candle lit. Maybe you're looking at a color that you like keep it small. Cause I think we also have a lot of cultural conditioning around like pleasure has to mean like explosive orgasms and like the craziest, most expansive experience you've ever had. And it's like, no, it's actually really basic and tiny.
Super. Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay. So we are going to go on a break. And so when we come back, what I want to do is kind of put all of this together. Like we just, oh my gosh, there's just so much here. So talking about trauma, talking about healing through non-monogamy, and then also using your body's innate wisdom and pleasure and starting to feel pleasure also as a way of healing. So we've got all of these components and we're going to bring them all together in our next segment. Big shoes to fill.
Are you ready to expand and move forward and create the love in your life that you truly desire and deserve? Specializing in consensually non-monogamous and polyamorous relationships, Elizabeth Cunningham works with all people who want to expand and grow the love they have in their lives. Contact Elizabeth for more information on love coaching and applying for her online course, Love Deeper, at elizabethcunningham.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to transformationtalkradio.com or visit Susan's website at susandolce.com.
You are made for more. I'm Coach Lisa, and I'm here to help you achieve ultimate life satisfaction. Your life matters to the world. Reimagine your future with an individualized life by design approach with my free ebook, The 5 C's of Coaching: Commitment, Clarity, Coachable, Creative, and Change. Find the transformation you're looking for. Go to lisabeltz.com. That's LYSABELTZ.com.
Tune in to the Be Happy Now show with me, Claudia Sam. Flex your soul connection muscle and be your inner guide to fulfillment. Every Thursday on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You are here for a bigger reason and are worthy of accessing it. Experience happiness now. Tune in to your intuition and connect with me. Visit ClaudiaSamCoaching.com.
You're driven, and it totally shows. Your career is taking off, you're killing it in the mom game, but did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365dailyhustle.com.
Welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And we are here with Irene Mourning, having just a soul nourishing conversation about non-monogamy, healing, trauma, pleasure, using your body's innate wisdom. And so in this segment, the goal, the hefty goal, is to really bring it all together. You know, how do all of these things relate to one another? How do they move and flow with one another? Oh, sorry, and now my computer is doing weird things. Okay. Okay, so how do these things, in what you see in the work that you do, how do they flow together?
Woof, that feels like such a big question.
I know. Actually, okay, so let's start here. I'm gonna cut you off. Okay, so let's start with, like, you are a somatic pleasure coach. Let's start there. Let's have that be the center point here. Does that work for you?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, perfect. So what does that mean, and then how does that all tie together?
Yeah. So for me, being a somatic pleasure coach is I'm working with people really on a body level to build up their relationship with the language of their body, to give them more pleasure throughout all the realms of their life, to give them more access to actually what they want and how they want to pursue it in multiple realms of life. So that means tapping into what pleasure feels like in the body, but also then applying that to how they feel mentally and emotionally, how they feel relationally, how they feel energetically, maybe spiritually, if they consider themselves spiritual, like really understanding through the lens of the body what it feels like to be in pleasure across the board in life.
Ooh, so what is that? I mean, again, I try to think of like when I'm thinking of questions, I'm like, what would be confusing about that? Or like, what wouldn't people get about that? Right. Mm-hmm. And so like, for me, I'm like, okay, what would be confusing about that? Cause, and we touched on this a little bit in the last segment of just like, what is pleasure and what mm-hmm. is pleasure in your body? So, I mean, I guess in theory, you could have orgasms in every area of your life, you know, just like, that sounds fantastic. But like,
yeah,
what is, yeah, why not? Right.
Let's go for that.
Yeah. Let's just have orgasmic experiences all the time. I'm like so on board for that. Yes.
Totally here for it.
But for those people who are like not there yet, what does pleasure mean in every area of, well, yeah, what does pleasure mean in every area of your life? Like what could that look like?
Yeah. So what I just touched on is actually how I tend to break it down. Like the framework that I use for, I mean, I talk about it as like a holistic pleasure framework. So I talk about pleasurable experiences that are, one category is body-based, one is mental, emotional, one is energetic or spiritual, and then one is relational. Okay, so, and those are not strict categories. Like they're really supposed to be like guidelines for you just kind of making an assessment. So like usually how work with me starts is us kind of looking at how are you feeling across these four different areas of life.
Like how much pleasure are you experiencing? Like in your spirituality, like if you're a spiritual person, like in your spirituality, like on a scale from 1 to 10, how pleasurable is it?
Exactly. Or, you know, one of the, in what I call the pleasure witch circles, like within the pleasure magic stuff that I do, we have a group where we'll kind of hold each other accountable for looking at like, if something's feeling challenging or we're going through a hard period, kind of looking at like, okay, in which of those realms am I actually not getting what I need? And so focusing on nurturing the pleasure in that particular realm to actually kind of bring us back into being centered, well-rounded in our pleasure in a kind of more, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, just in a kind of a more well-rounded experience of ourselves and a centered way of approaching our life. Usually we're missing some pleasure in one or multiple of those realms, and bringing it back in can actually like resource us in exactly the way that we need. So, you know, kind of in response to your framing of like what might be confusing about that, for example, a few weeks ago I was going through a really challenging period in healing, like a very particular family thing that was coming up for me. And when I sat down and kind of looked at where am I missing pleasure right now, it was in, I mean, I consider myself a spiritual person. It was in my more spiritual realm. And so for the rest of that, I would say for the next 2 weeks after that, I was really focused on tuning into my spiritual pleasure every day. And that actually made a huge difference in my capacity to navigate the situation.
I think that's so important to recognize, because often we look at, you know, like you said, it was with your family, but often we look at, you know, areas of our life and we're like, well, if it pertains to my family, then there's something wrong with me inside of my family relationships, or there's something wrong with my family. Instead of taking, like you said, more that well-rounded approach, because everything is connected. Yeah. And I think that's like part of like the answer to the question is like, how is it all connected? Well, everything's connected. Yeah. You know, it's all connected. And you just don't know. I think that's a great, great, great way to suss out, you know, where is it that I'm out of alignment that then is putting this area of my life out of alignment. And to have that type of awareness, and then to actually see it come to fruition. It's like, okay, I'm going to like focus on my pleasure here. And actually this area gets better. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. That's amazing. And I think that it also speaks to like how non-linear, like we want things to be linear. Like we love, you know, like this is process 1, 2, 3, and now you're good.
Here are my steps and then I'm done.
Right. But it's like, that's not how it works. It's like a web or like a constellation or, you know, whatever analogy that you want to use, whatever non-linear analogy that you want to use. Yeah. It's like that.
Totally.
Oh my gosh. So, okay. So then, and I think I can kind of answered my own question. And I was just about to ask, I'm like, well, how does that relate to non-monogamy? But I think I kind of just answered my own question.
Well, I mean, yes, and we could probably dig into that for a really long time.
Right.
I think, you know, like as I was saying in the first segment, like a big piece of being successful, or like, I mean, I don't really love to frame it as successful, but feeling like we're cultivating the non-monogamy that we actually want, that feels supportive to us, that feels functional, is actually really understanding what we want and how to pursue it and how to communicate it to partners. Because I think part of what can be tricky in the transition from monogamy into non-monogamy is sort of like coming to terms with that you've just thrown out every single script that exists and you have to kind of like build it up from scratch. And that takes a lot of self-awareness and a lot of being able to claim what's true for you and communicate it to the people that you're interacting with so that they can say whether or not they're in that place with you. And I think that's very different than having cultural scripts that you somewhat default to, and really requires that sense of like being able to read yourself.
Yeah, definitely, like being able to read yourself, having self-awareness. And also what I'm hearing too is the fluidity of it. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you know, as we've been saying, it's not a linear thing. So it's not like, well, I need to heal this part of me, you know, this trauma, or this thing is coming up, as you mentioned earlier, like in your spiritual life, like, you know, if you were communicating that to a partner, if you were like, you know, these next couple of weeks, I'm really going to be focused on this. You know, it's not like you can be like, and the outcome is going to be this, and then we're going to be like this, you know, it's just like,
and then I'll be healed completely forever.
And then it will never arise ever again.
And then I will ascend to enlightenment. Yeah. Well, I think that kind of, you know, that actually brings me to another thing that I do think is, again, I don't actually think anything is specific to non-monogamy that doesn't happen in monogamy, but navigating jealousy, for example, like actually does take some capacity to sit in discomfort and does take some resourcing for resilience in us. And something that I talk to people who are kind of new to opening up, new to stepping into non-monogamy or newly opening up what was a monogamous relationship, is always framing to them like, forgiveness has to be an element of this, because you're gonna make mistakes, you're gonna have miscommunication. There just are some givens when you make a transition like that, and it requires that you figure out how to forgive each other, how to forgive yourselves if you are actually violating yourself, which is part of that self-abandonment piece, and how to actually bounce back from those kinds of things. And that process also actually gets to be really healing as long as you're resourced and willing to show up for it.
Oh my gosh, that gave me chills up and down my whole body, because forgiveness is, I mean, people really struggle with forgiveness. You know, there's a lot wrapped up in forgiveness, and really is. Yeah. And just like the willingness to see each other as, to see yourself and to see your partners as human, and that you are going to make mistakes and there are going to be things, you know, it's not going to go perfectly.
Yeah.
And that's something that you have to account for.
Yeah. Like, I mean, one of the principles that I live by in relationships is that conflict gets to deepen our intimacy if we can figure out how to approach it that way. Like, conflict actually gets to be really generative if we can step into it with that understanding.
Yep.
Which is hard. I don't need to say that and be like, this is how it works. It's really, really hard.
Yeah, but it
does get to operate that way.
Totally. And it, like the thing is that like that lands all the way to the core. And it's like, it's not that it's, I mean, it is hard, and also it's true, you know, and there's a beauty in the truth of that, even though it's difficult. Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, we are going to take our last break here. And when we come back, I am sure that you have fallen in love with Irene, obviously, throughout this entire episode. And what we're going to talk about is a little bit more kind of wrapping up our conversation, but also some of the things that Irene offers so that after the show, you can find her and work with her on all the things that she's doing. Okay, so we will be right back.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be, and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts Oracle Cards, and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Heaven on Earth, your online school of divinity, building your inner coach as you lay down your foundation in the new earth with you as the authority. Take action now. The number one challenge people face every day is the negative voice in their head. We work each day to turn negatives into positives. It's all a matter of perception. Our challenge at this time is to remain intensely positive and focused, creating the world we wish to live in. Wake up on purpose with Cornelia's daily online positive messages guiding us in the new paradigm. Raise yourself into happiness and inner peace daily. Elevate your personal frequency, free from negativity, and reprogram yourself step by step, shifting your energy patterns with positive repetition, daily building your new earth with someone you trust. All the heavy lifting has been done for you. Wake up happy with CorneliaStephanieVIP.com. Try free for 7 days now.
All right, welcome back to the Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding in Love. And we are here with Irene Mourning, and it has been an amazing conversation. And I'm a little sad that this is our last segment of the show. I'm just like, oh man, we don't have like another hour to talk about this. This has been amazing and really deep. And for anybody who is joining right now on the live, I highly recommend that you come back to this when it airs. I believe it's Wednesday night or Thursday morning. It depends on your time zone. But definitely come back to this episode because it has been huge talking about healing, non-monogamy, trauma, and really listening to your body. It's been a beautiful conversation. So thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, it's been such a pleasure talking to you.
Okay. So I have a couple of my last questions to ask you. What do you recommend for people who are struggling with non-monogamy, particularly if the triggers are overwhelming or impacting like other areas of life?
The first thing is like, I just want those people to hear and know that they're not failing at non-monogamy and that they're definitely not alone in that being the experience that they're having. I think it's really easy for people to step into it and feel like they're doing something wrong, even though they really believe in that relationship structure. And I want to like throw that right out the window. I think more sort of like pragmatically or tactically, what I would say is that you don't have to handle that alone. Like there are resources out there that understand how to support that very specific struggle. And making sure that you have some kind of non-monogamous community is, I think, really essential to working through that, like having people in your life that aren't blaming the struggle all on the non-monogamy itself is really important. And then I would say what we were talking about earlier, kind of sense of pleasure being small, is like when you're super dysregulated or you're going through big periods of struggle, finding the absolute tiniest moments of pleasure that you can throughout the day, like noticing a smell that you enjoy, noticing a taste that you enjoy, noticing a color that you enjoy, just letting it be really, really, really simple, but actually taking stock of it and like saying to yourself, I'm receiving this pleasure, can be a huge thing in just resourcing your nervous system differently.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think that ties right into like my sort of bigger thing overall is like, get to know your nervous system, get to know your body, get to understand what the triggers are, and do some work around how you make them manageable. Like ask for what you need to contain the triggers enough for you to actually be working through them.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, I feel like this whole episode, I'm going to go back and listen to it. And like every single time I'm going to be like, yeah, absolutely. I'm just like, yes.
Yes, 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 yes,
yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes, yes. Just do everything that Irene says. There you go. Perfect. And, you know, and talking about pleasure being small is like, I had a participant in one of my group courses one time, and we did like a somatic thing. And, there's opportunities to like share like what came up for you. And she was like, honestly, she's like, the smallest amount of pleasure for me was just feeling the air on my skin. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I just remember that moment. Cause it was just like, I mean, you could feel how much she felt it. And it was so small, but so profound for her. She was like, wow, I really just felt how the air was on my skin. And it just felt so good for me.
Yeah.
When we're
in that challenging place, our brain, like, because it wants to keep us safe, it's looking for all the bad stuff, right? So another thing that I'll sometimes invite people to do is actually just reflect on the past week or two and notice, like, call to mind the smallest moments of pleasure. Maybe touch on each of those realms I was talking about earlier. But like, usually when we reflect on it, we can find something, and that affirmation that we're still experiencing pleasure, even though we're going through something challenging, can also be incredibly resourcing.
Yeah. Yes. Again, yes. I need to find another way to say it. Well, you also answered one of my completing questions, so I won't ask the question of what's a takeaway, because I'm like, that's a beautiful takeaway, is to just look at, you know, where can you, I mean, you've mentioned a couple things that you can do to like really be resourced, and one of them being, you know, how can you feel pleasure even if it's really small, and just noticing that and starting to get, you know, more aware of your body. So one of my other closing questions is, what does love mean to you?
Ooh. Love to me means about interconnectedness and also full expression. So yeah, getting to be really liberated in ourselves while in deep connection with other people.
I love that answer. Yeah, beautiful.
And probably a thousand other things that I can say. But that's what feels true right now.
Excellent, I love it. So you also are promoting, I want to promote you're doing a giveaway. And so, Oh my God. I'm like crawling out of my skin. Do you want to share your giveaway, or do you want me to share it?
I'm happy to share it. That's fine.
Okay.
I am giving away a free month inside the membership platform that I run called Pleasure Coven. This is an offering only for femmes and women, people who identify as femmes. Right now it's not open to men. And we do a month, there's a whole pleasure practices library in there of things that I guide you through, worksheets, meditations. There's a whole recorded workshop of kind of like basics of doing somatic pleasure work. And then once a month we have a, it's usually pretty close to the full moon. We do like a full moon circle all together. That's like all of us just talking about pleasure and sharing our pleasure based on the framework that I've been talking about. So yeah.
Fantastic. Awesome. And that is in the description for the show. So regardless of what platform that you are watching on, listening on, the link to that is in the show notes. So you'll be able to register there. Brilliant. Irene, thank you so, so much for coming on the show, just gracing my show with your presence and your love and your energy and your healing and your knowledge of all of these things. I think that I personally feel that today's episode with you has been absolutely transformational. So thank you. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me. It's really been wonderful.
You're so welcome. All right. And to everybody who is listening, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. I also love, honor, and respect you as well. We are live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific. And we also have this on the YouTube under Transformational Talk Radio, the Elizabeth Cunningham Show. We're on Spotify, iTunes, really almost any place that you can listen to a podcast. And so check us out, tune in, show up, hit the like button, whatever, you know, all the things, you know the drill. We love you. We appreciate you. Keep loving, my friends.
You have been listening to The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, Courageously Expanding Love with me, Elizabeth Cunningham. Tune in live every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where we shed light on relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Learn to love yourself and create the relationships you want. Connect with me at ElizabethAnnCunningham.com. That's ElizabethAnnCunningham.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.